there's stains on her eyes from the places she's wandered and the shame she can't hide. She says, how did I get here? I'm not who I once was, and I'm crippled by the fear of falling too far to love. Oh, don't you know who you are? What has been done for you? Yeah, don't you know who you are?
You are more
than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. Try to believe it. She's been given new life, but she can't shake the feeling that it's not true tonight. She knows all the answers, and she's rehearsed all the lines, and so she'll try to do better, but then she's too weak to try. But don't you know who you are?
You are more
than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. This is not about what you've done, but what's been done for you. And this is not about where you've been, but where your brokenness brings you to. This is not about what you felt, but what he felt to forgive you, and what he felt to make you love. That you've made, you are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade.
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 just give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Yes, you can have all this world.
Just give me Jesus.
Thank you, Maddie and Matthew. I appreciate what our young people are doing. I've already shared with you that I shared this on Wednesday night. There was a variety show, they called it. They didn't want to call it a talent show because they said we normally don't have any talent. But they had a variety show. And they had 8 different auditions, I guess, that made the auditions, and they let them get up and do their music, or, you know, really all of them sang. And there were 5 churches there, and our church won 1st, 2nd, and 3rd place. And the variety show. So, you know, we had Eminem, and then we had Savannah Gassett sing a Christina Battistelli song. I think that's the right name. Isn't it? And then we had Riziki did some Christian rap. Now, I didn't know nothing about that, but she did it, and they liked it. So, but it was, you know, I was proud of them. Really, and I am proud of our youth, and I appreciate the youth here at the church. And I'll tell you, I appreciate you supporting the youth. Now, folks, I support the youth. Okay, if you don't support the youth, you got the wrong guy. And people say, well, they're the church of tomorrow. Let's get them busy today. Okay. Now, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Appreciate y'all coming out tonight to church. Now, here's something we ought to be thankful for. We ought to be thankful that we're not having together somewhere in somebody's basement. We ought to be thankful that we're not having to have somebody watch out front wanting to know what's going on. Because, you know, there are parts of the world today where that's still going on. And those that I talked about this morning that came over on the Mayflower, that's what they were doing. Because to get together, and here's how bad it was, you know, in England at one time when they came across, if you had a Bible that was written in the English language, it wasn't meant to be in the hands of the modern people. See, the Latin Vulgate that was before the English Bible, it was literally chained to the pulpit, and you had to come to church to hear it. You didn't have it for yourself. So it's a privilege to be able to be in the house of the Lord tonight and be able to come in and worship the Lord that we love, that saved us, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'm glad to be able to do that tonight. If you got your Bible, we're going to read in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. We're going to read several verses to you. I'm going to read the scripture. Then I want to go back and I want to talk and try to preach on this thought. What to do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? I mean, we all need that. We've got that going on, don't we? You ever come to the point, I just don't know what to do? Now, have you ever done this? You ever had something? You say, all right, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. I can't handle it. I can't deal with it. I can't do anything with it. I don't know what to do, so I'm going to give it to you. You know, what you'll find is if you're going to walk with God more and you're going to learn to trust Him and you're going to grow in your relationship with Him, you're going to find yourself facing that more often than you want to. And that's kind of what this scripture talks about. And our text verse, when we get to it, is verse number 12, and you'll see why I give this title, but I want to read these verses, and I want to come back and kind of walk you through this scripture. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm going to read verse 1 through verse number 25. It says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that had told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession which thou hast given us to inherit. And in the 12th verse, says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the house of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them, and behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohites and the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Now, what the thought I want to share with you tonight is, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Now, when you look at this story, the fact is, if you go back to the beginning of it, and I want to walk through some of the verses, fact number one is there was an enemy that was coming. And when Jehoshaphat heard that the enemy was coming, he was afraid. But when he heard that the enemy was coming, he realized that this enemy is vast in number. This enemy is strong. This enemy is fearful. This enemy seeks the destruction of our people. And not only are they out there, not only are they vast, not only are they strong, but they are close. And now, as king, and before these people, being a king that did fear God, a king that worshiped God, he feared for his own people. And he feared for them, and you look it down at the scripture, and what does Hezekiah do? He does what we ought to do. He seeks the Lord. You see, when you got something coming against you, and you got the enemy coming against you, and you're facing anything in this life, the first thing you ought to do is seek the Lord. Now, as a leader, he did the right thing. Not only did he seek the Lord, but he promoted and proclaimed that the people ought to seek the Lord. You know, that's the first thing that a good leader ought to do. He ought to recognize, and he did recognize, our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is not in our number. Our strength is not in our might. It's not in our army. But what did he do? If you look down, he proclaimed a fast. And he tells the people to fast. Now, here's what he did. He prayed. Then he tells the people that they ought to pray and that they ought to seek God. But by proclaiming a fast, he goes a little bit beyond that. And we don't do that much today. We don't do it much in this day and time. But a fast is where you do serious business with God. Now, a lot of times people fast where they'll do without food. I've heard of people doing this. I know one particular Christian leader who fasted one day a week for his children. And this is why he did this. He said that his grandfather had told him that he had fasted, and that God had given him a promise that he would see his children and his grandchildren saved. He said, but my children were not included in that promise. He said, it just spoke to my heart. And he said, I had children. I had two children, a boy and a girl, and they weren't saved. And he said, I fasted one day a week, every week, until God saved both of my children. Now, you know, here's the thing about a fast. When you fast, you don't do it so people can see it. You don't see it, do it so people can look at you and say, well, he's fasting. You know, in the Old Testament, that's what they did. They would stand on the corners and they would disfigure their faces so that when people look at them, they would look tired and they would look hungry. And people say, well, why do you look that way? Oh, I'm fasting so that I can have power with God. Well, they took God's glory. When he proclaims this fast, he's saying, let's do business with God. Let's come to the point that we're willing to give something up because we want something from God. Now, in the day and time that you and I are living in, a fast of food is rare. It's not common in a Baptist church that people really fast. If you do it, the truth is, nobody knows about it. But let me tell you, if you do it, no one should know about it. It's between you and God. But let me tell you of a fast that is greater than a fast of food. It is a fast where you are willing to get serious with God and allow God's finger to point out every detail of your life that's not pleasing to Him and get rid of the things in your heart and life that don't please God. You know, I want God to work in my life. I want God to work in my children's lives. I want God to work in this church. But you know, folks, when I'm getting ready to come in here and preach, I don't want to come in here with dirty hands. You know, there's a verse in the book of Psalms that says, and this is what I call the preacher's verse. God shows me this. He showed me this verse. It said, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully.
That's why, and I didn't know, I just preached by the Holy Spirit. I didn't know I was going to say all this, but I want to tell you this much. I have heard preachers get in the pulpit and talk about how they have been doing it so long that they can pretend a little bit. In other words, it's kind of like, I heard people say this, I'm such a good public speaker that I don't really have to prepare that much. I've heard people say that. Let me tell you something. I cannot pretend. If my heart is not right with God, I am the most miserable person that's walking the face of the earth if I know I've got to get behind the pulpit and, as I've heard it said, stand between the living and the dead and hold up God's word and try to do something for Him. This is serious. That's why when I look at my heart and my life, I do not want to be the one that would do anything to cause God not to bless this church. And what I believe Jehoshaphat is saying to these people is, you need to get on your face before God. You need to fast. And you don't want to be the one that brings God's judgment upon our nation. Because the enemy was without. The enemy is strong. The enemy is great in number. The enemy is fearful. The enemy has come for our destruction. And they are close. Now, what I want God to do, I want God to save everybody that He can save. I'm not one of those that believes that just certain people can come and certain can't. You know, I believe that God wants to save everybody, okay? I'm not a hyper-Calvinist at all, okay? I'm against that stuff. I believe that God loves you. And if I didn't believe that God wanted to save people, I'd quit. I honestly would. I'd go home, I'd go fishing, I'd go hunting, because if you can't help it, you're going to get it no matter what. And if you can't get it, if you want it, then what's the use? Right. Amen. What I want is to see God save everybody He can, and when the church gets where it's supposed to be, we'll be able to reap. Amen? Right. We got 19 signed up for baptism next Sunday. Praise God. Wow. That's what we ought to praise God about. We ought not to gloat in that. We ought to praise God for it because He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. And Jehoshaphat, when he cries out to God, he is fearful because the enemy, that's what he wants to do. That's why the scripture says over there, and Peter knew it when he wrote it in the scripture. He says, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Then he said, whom resist steadfast in the faith? Resist him. But when the devil's roaring outside of your camp, let me tell you where Jehoshaphat was at. He started praying. And he said, all right, everybody, let's pray. Let's do business with God. But let's go through these verses. Look at verse number 3, and I want you to see the first thing. First thing you must do when you do not know what to do is you must recognize your own limitations. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I got them. I got my limitations. I got my limits. Sometimes the limits are spiritual. Sometimes they're physical. Sometimes you may think that you're in better shape than you are. You see, in my mind, I think I'm fearless. And I go to Six Flags and I think, well, you know, it's just a roller coaster. And I remember one time, I don't know if y'all remember that rocking boat that did this. I got on that rocking boat. Now, I was near as old as I am now. But I got on that rocking boat, and I thought, well, I'm not afraid of this. And I got up there in the back of it, and that thing went up, and all of a sudden, I'll tell you what happened to me. I don't know if it was blood pressure, stress, nerves, or what, but I just went limp. And I fell over against the rail, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm having a heart attack. I did. I thought, there's something wrong with me. And I realize I may not be afraid here, but sometimes your body will not allow you to do the things that you want to do. And what you need to realize is some things that you're going to face, you need to understand what your own limitations are. Because until you do that, you're dangerous. Because you'll try to do something by yourself, and not only will you get yourself hurt, but you'll get somebody else hurt in the process. Now, we can spiritualize that. I want to show it to you in the scripture. In the 3rd and the 4th verse, says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask the help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You know, that's what we ought to do. You know, I've heard stories, and obviously I think this was a great time. They call it the greatest generation. It's the generation of World War II when people come together and they had the recycles of tires, and people were bringing old tires and people were bringing metal, and they were bringing everything together, and everybody worked, and they turned the automobile factories into places to make tanks and vehicles for warfare, and there were rationing sugar and rationing shoes. But during those times, one thing that really sticks out in my heart and my mind is you wouldn't have to come by a church like this one and worry about the doors being locked. People weren't going to come in and steal what you had. When they come in, you'd find them any time of the week, any day of the week at the altar seeking God. They would be praying for their children. They'd be praying for those boys and those girls that had went to far parts of the country that they may not hear from for months. I went to Ireland a couple of years ago, under duress, by the way. But I told them before I went, I said, I need a phone that I can talk to whomever I need to talk to and that I can get all of my emails. They set me up. But you know, it wasn't like that during World War II. When a mother walked her son down to the bus station and they drove him down in the work truck and they laid him out at the bus station, some of them did not hear from him until they come back home 4 years later. And here we see a place to where these people say, we need the help of the Lord, and they came out of all the cities to seek the Lord. In other words, they come together in one mind and one accord that we're not going to argue about how it's done, but we're going to get together and we're going to defeat that enemy out there because his intention is to destroy us. Number two, you must recognize God's lack of limitations. Look at verse number 6. It says, and Jehoshaphat said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? In other words, now here he is, he's afraid and he's fearful, but he's coming before God with an humble heart. And he said, Lord, I know who you are. And I understand that you have the power. God rules over all. And he has the ultimate power and ultimate might, and none is able to withstand our God. See, he understood his own limitations, then he recognizes God's lack of limitations. But I want you to see the third thing. You must remember the promises of God. See, when you get to the point that you just don't know what to do, sometimes you have to remember what God has already done. Look at verse number 7 through verse number 9. And Jehoshaphat, he says, art not thou our God, who didst drive out all the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword or judgment, or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. What do we say this morning? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. He said, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. You see, you must remember the promises of God. See, sometimes in our life, we may get to the point that we absolutely do not know or understand how that we're going to make it out. You know, I really do try to get wholesome things in my house for my family, for my boys. Now, that's difficult. if you're talking about things that they can use for entertainment. It's tough. I hate to tell you, but I mean, I bought DVDs and took them home, watched them, took them straight to the garbage. But I bought one the other day. The name of it is Unbroken. And I was watching it, and they had a troubled young man in this film, and a true story, and he had an older brother who cared for him, that did not want him to continue down the road he was going down. And he saw his brother running, and he said, "Look, if you're willing to put forth the effort, you can make the track team. And you can get those guys that are on your back off of your back." And I remember one line that he said to him. He said, "If you can take it, you can make it." And of course, he kept encouraging the young man, and the young man actually made the track team. Then he made state. Then he became one of the fastest runners in the country, and he was made the Olympics. But shortly after the first Olympics, he found himself in World War II. A true story, went down in a plane over the Pacific Ocean and spent 45 days in a raft, eating whatever birds that landed on them while they were asleep, sharks that swam by that were big enough that they could grab by the tail and kill and eat without cooking them. The only water they had after their cups were drunk was whatever they could catch in their ponchos when it rained. Then they were picked up by a Japanese boat and they went into a concentration camp. And in his mind, he kept going back to those words, "If you can take it, then you can make it." You say, "Well, I don't like that." Folks, let me tell you, I don't like it either. But the Bible tells us that there is no temptation taking you except that which is common to man. And with every temptation, there also be made a way of escape. And sometimes in our life, we're going to walk through some very difficult and tough times. And what's going to help us make it is to remember the God that saved us and the places He helped us to walk through in our life, that He is not dead, He is not defeated, and He can take us to the other side. We must remember where He brought us from. Remember those past victories and remember that God hears you. Could you imagine being in a concentration camp in a pit where they poured slop on you and dropped you a handful of rice and it landed on the ground and you were glad to get it and that was your meal for the day? And you're down in that pit and you're asking, "Where is God? Does God hear me?" But God has a plan and God has the ability to help us go through things and make it through things that in and of ourselves we would never be able to survive. Because no matter where you're at, if you're a child of God, God hears you and God remembers you. The fourth thing is you must understand that you must request the help of God. Now God wants to bless, I believe with all my heart, God wants to bless His people. God wants to help you, but sometimes what the reason we don't have it is we don't ask for it. You must request the help of God. Look at verse number 10 through verse number 12. It says, "Now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast driven us to inherit. O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Now that last comment, that's really the text verse for this message tonight, is "Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." You know, you can run the verses and you can understand why in the 10th verse, when we came out into the land of Canaan, Lord, you wouldn't let us invade or defeat the Moabites and the Ammonites. Well, you go and you study and you understand that God wouldn't let them defeat them. Why? Because He wanted to leave them to test and approve His people by. Because when he tests them and he proves them, he shows them what's really inside of them. And sometimes what God is doing in the trials and the troubles of our life when we don't know what to do is he's trying to get us to the point that we know who we are and we know who he is. Because if not, how would we grow in our character and our integrity if we were not tested or tried? I don't like that, but I understand that. It's like something that I heard Charles Stanley say one time. That's a write it down statement. I've said it to you before. That prosperity makes monsters, but adversity makes men. Now, one thing I want you to understand that in the times of Jehoshaphat, when this army came, it created a revival amongst those people. Because they fasted, they prayed, and they came together in unity to seek the Lord. See, what we have to do is understand sometimes all we need to do is request the help of the Lord, and it's just like this. God, there it is. I can't do it. I've done that, folks. I've done it. I've took it and give it to him and say, Lord, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. There it is. If I'm going to go on, you got to help me. If I'm going to make it till next Sunday and be able to go to church, you got to help me. If I'm going to be able to stand this storm and not sink, you got to help me, God. But you just got to ask him. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. And here's something to understand, is that God cannot show up until you get to the end of yourself. You see, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9, Paul, when he was talking about his thorn in the flesh, and Jesus came and he said unto him, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, God's saying his strength is made perfect in your weakness if the thing you do when you're at the end of yourself is simply fall to your knees. Because the truth is, there are things you're going to face in life, that's all that you can do. The fifth thing you must do, verse number 15, this is where it starts getting good. I know that's some tough stuff. Here's where it starts getting good. The fifth thing is you just must receive the help of God. Now, I like this part. Look at the 15th verse. It says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them, and behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go down against them, for the Lord will be with you. You know, that 15th verse in the middle of it, it tells us to be not afraid or dismayed by the reason of this multitude. That's not even natural, is it? It's not even natural. Then, you know, God is not making light of it. This is a real problem. It's real. It's a real problem in their lives. And sometimes there are real problems in our lives. But here's what I want us to understand. God is not perplexed by it. He never gets to the point that... You ever imagine how God would wring his hands? Could you imagine God wringing his hands and saying, I just don't know what I'm going to do? You see, it says in Isaiah, he said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And where is the house that you build unto me? He never gets overwhelmed. He's never on a journey. He's never asleep. It's never too big for him. And then if you go down to the 17th verse, the end of the verse, he says, tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, the sixth thing and the last thing that I want us to see in this scripture is you must rejoice in the help God has given. Look at the 18th verse. It says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Then one more verse. It says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. But now here's something very significant that I want you to understand about these last few verses that I read. The worshiping came before the victory. The worshiping came before the victory, okay? It's like the song that they sang here. We had a singing a few weeks ago. Brother Richard's group came and they sang the song, God Wants to Hear You Sing. I love that song. I'd like for us to learn that one. Somebody here needs to be singing that. But here's the point. God wants to hear you sing when the storm is raging. God wants to hear you sing when the enemy is circling the camp. See, it's easy to get up and sing and say, I just want to praise God. I got a raise. All my bills are paid. And if you notice my children, they're perfect. God wants to hear you sing when everything's caving in on top of you. And if you look at this scripture, they had already decided that they were going to praise God before the victory came. Because the victory had not yet come, but they said, we're going to praise Him. We're going to sing with a loud voice. Here's what I want to tell you. It's okay to get excited. It's okay to praise God. Young people, it's okay to praise your, raise your hands in worship. Amen? It's okay to believe it so much so that what's on the outside bubbles up on you because you just can't help it. They sang unto the Lord, and then they praised the beauty of holiness. Wow. When I look at that and I read that, one thing I understand is we need some holiness in us. No matter how strong the enemy we are facing, you see, sometimes, how can it be that the enemy can be without the camp and there can be trouble and there can be things facing us on every side that make us feel overwhelmed? How can it be that we can retain our integrity? We can still be holy and be right with God? In the same verses that we talked about last Wednesday night came back to my heart and mind. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 4. Verse number 7. Says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation or self-control be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing or be worried for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, same thing that Jehoshaphat was talking about, with thanksgiving, that's your praise, that's your song. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then the last part, which is so important, says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, one thing I found when I studied this story is it's just like so many others. The Old Testament rolls into the New Testament, and the New Testament supports the Old Testament. And all the stories in the Old Testament point right back to the same place. They point to Jesus. And if I'm going to have peace, if I'm going to make it in this life, it's going to be through walking closer to Him. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? You just go as fast as you can to Jesus. And you just ask Him to help you. Now, you know, we praise the Lord that we can come here together. But what I look at is this church. It said they came from all cities to seek the Lord. We come here together as a Christian family to seek the Lord. And sometimes there may be an enemy outside your house or outside your camp. And what you need to do is come here and seek God. And when you come and you fall down and pray and you're seeking the Lord, guess what's going to happen? You're going to feel a hand on your shoulder. Because somebody that loves you, somebody that cares about you is going to be right there. From other cities or other places. Brother Keith, if you could, I'd like to just sing one verse of song tonight, whatever y'all got on your hearts, because, and I'd like for you to stand to your feet. One thing I want you to know is that I want you to understand the same God that Jehoshaphat prayed to that's in this story is the same God we serve today. God wants you to hear you sing. He wants to hear you praise Him even when the storm's raging. But I want you to understand something. He wants to give you victory. He really does. As we sing this one verse of song, if anybody here tonight would like to pray, anything you'd like to bring to the Lord, we'd love to pray with you tonight. Just pray with you if you would.